Welcome to prayer meeting. Our opening hymn is 217. 217. Rejoice, the Lord is King. 217. Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your hearts, lift up your pains, the God of truth and love. When he had purged the stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your hearts, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus' skin. Lift up your again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in glorious hope. Our Lord the Judge shall come and take his servant up to eternal home. Lift up welcome, happy morning. 213. Welcome, happy morning. Welcome, happy morning. Age to age the same. Hell today is fair. Welcome, happy morning, age to age the same. Today is vanquished, there is one today. Earth and joy confesses, clothing her for strength. Turning King, bloom in every meadow, lives on every bough. Speak his sorrows ended, heal his
his triumph now. Welcome, happy morning, age to age shall say. Hell today is vanquished, happiness born today. Maker and Redeemer, life and health of all, thou from hand beholding human nature's fall. Of the eternal Father, true and only Son, manhood to deliver, manhood put its build on. Welcome, happy morning, age to age shall sing. Till day is vanquished, and is one today. Thou of life the author, death didst undergo. Tread the path of darkness, saving strength to show. Come then, true and faithful, now fulfill thy word. This thine own third morning, rise, O buried Lord. Welcome, happy morning, age to age shall say. Hell today is vanquished, and is won today.
Amen. Welcome to prayer meeting. Our third hymn, final hymn, is 216, Jesus Shall Reign. Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus shall reign when the sun, the sun, does his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. From north to south the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. While western empires own their savage tribes attend his word, to him shall endless prayer be made, and endless praises crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People of realms of every tongue, dwell on his love with sweetest song, an infant voices shall proclaim, there early blessings on his name.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 to 16 is the text for our meditation. Isaiah chapter 16 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatoo's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set up his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their head upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utter destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over a dry shot. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his precious word. Rejoice, the Lord reigns, is the title of our exhortation, taken from Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 to 16. We have three thoughts: glories of his first coming, verse 1 to 5, glories of his second coming, verse 6 to 10, and return of Israel to the promised land, verse 11 to 16. The Lord is for his people. He consoles and comforts the ailing hearts of his people, that he is still on the throne. though the world around us seemed to be falling apart, the violence that we saw on the 7th of October 2023 in Israel, as we see the worst of the wickedness of the human heart. This is the Hebrew word Hamas, translated violence, that is first mentioned in Genesis 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This is the word Hamas. Why did God instruct Noah to construct the ark and preach of the coming judgment? Genesis 6, verse 12 tells us, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth, because the earth was reeling out of control. Verse 5 of Genesis 6 says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The coming of the Assyrians was a judgment from God, because God's people living in sin were reeling out of control. And yet, for the sake of a remnant in Judah, the Lord will deliver the remnant of Judah from the Assyrian invasion, which we saw in Isaiah 34, the last time. Israel was supposed to be the people of God, but they have gone wayward. So much so that the Lord had to do something, and his judgment was to come upon the northern kingdom, as was predicted by the Assyria, by Isaiah the prophet. And the northern kingdom will be destroyed. Isaiah, during his time, will prophesy, and this would happen. And the Assyrians will come after Judah. And there in Jerusalem, the Lord will keep a remnant. The Assyrians will be defeated. The Lord was with his people. When the people of God would follow him, walk with him, serve him, there would be great peace and great blessing. But when there is a turn and men depart from the living God, that's where problem comes. That's where misery is so well described in our world today. This chapter, Isaiah 11, is connected with the preceding chapter, Isaiah chapter 10, as part of the same prophecy, in that the prophet had described the invasion of Sennacherib and had given the assurance that Jerusalem would be safe, notwithstanding the threatened invasion. Right? The wars and rumors of wars that were there at their doorstep. They knew that the enemy was coming, but they are the people of God, and the Lord is not leaving them to themselves without help, without hope, but the Lord will be there to save them. Jerusalem should be safe, notwithstanding the threatened invasion. And this, the general design of that prophecy was to console the people with the assurance of their deliverance from impending calamity. In other words, before God judges, he always sounds the alarm, so that when his judgment comes, man who is culpable, if they would turn from their ways, their evil ways, and come back to the Lord, There will be hope. There will be help. Just as Noah, who preached the message of repentance, he also built the ark that will save his family from the global deluge. As it is today, our Lord showed us the coming day of judgment will be like the days of Noah, when men and women are indifferent, oblivious of the coming judgment. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." As we see the world moving into chaos, we realize that the Lord's return is soon, even at the doors. It was a general principle of the Hebrew prophets, and particular with Isaiah. When any event tending to console the people or to excite the nation's gratitude occurred, to ease the eye forward to that great future deliverance which they anticipated under the Messiah. In other words, here, the Lord always sends comfort. The Lord always shows us the way out. And he always never fails to show us the hope of future with him. And so as Israel contemplates the situation that was before them, the wars and the rumors of war, the mind of the prophet was fixed upon the Lord. When our eyes are fixed upon him, that's where we find strength for life. And that is why you see the association there. From the calamity that was described to a description of the coming of the Messiah, that he would reign and that Israel will be delivered and his people will rejoice again. The Lord wants us to see, and we saw in the last chapter how Isaiah prophesied of the coming invasion of the Assyrians, in particular of Sennacherib, and that the Lord would deliver them from the danger to come. What a wonderful picture of God's grace in the life of his people. The commentator Bunce said, well, the language with which he commends the prophecy is retained. The illustrations are drawn from the subjects before under consideration, but the description pertains to the glories of the reign of the Messiah. What was the design of it? To console the people by the prospect of a great future deliverance under the Messiah. As we think about the world around us, as we see men somehow uncontrollable, as it were, in sin, we can feel discouraged to see death, to see disease, to see pain, to see brokenness. How sad it is. But God did not leave us in this state of brokenness, in this state of misery, sadness. His solution was that Messiah will come. Messiah must come. And that is the hope that the people of God have, isn't it? We live 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. And then you realize that the body becomes weaker and weaker. And finally, it breaks down. And then we ask ourselves, where is the hope? Where is the hope? If in life there is no eternity, then things would be cut off and broken off just like that. Then what is the purpose of our endeavor on this earth, isn't it? Is there anything lasting that we can take hold of, that we can build on this earth, that will be lasting, that will endure? Or is it something that we will have to leave behind the moment we take our last breath? So as you contemplate life and you realize the inevitability of death, then you realize that what hope is there? But God gives us hope, you see. And His picture, the hope that we have, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the Messiah of Israel. That is why Israel is so hated, you see, by the evil one. That is why Israel is so much a thorn in the flesh. We said Jerusalem is a burdensome stone, the Bible described. Everyone somehow in the world surrounding it is hostile to its existence. What is the reason for that hostility? Well, I say to you, is this, that out of Israel will come the Messiah. Out of Israel will come deliverance, you see. And this world that is ruled by the power of darkness, the prince of the power of the air, is very unhappy that men would be saved and delivered from the bondage that he holds sway upon each and every man. Messiah is God's solution to break that bondage. And the evil one knows it. And therefore, he sought to thwart, to stop the plan of God from its fulfillment. This prophecy in chapter 11 spans the period from the first to the second coming of the Messiah. At the second coming, there would come true peace on earth. When the Edenic state will be restored on earth, there shall be no violence. Sin shall be kept in check when Messiah reigns. The wolf, verse 6 of our text tells us, shall also dwell with the lamb. How can the wolf dwell with the lamb? In the world that we exist today, right, if you turn on to the National Geographic, you would see animals, eating animals, prowling. You see bloodshed. You see a lot of destruction in the animal kingdom. Well, this is the result of the fall. But a time will come when the Lord would restore. There would be peace. The calf and the young lion, the fatling together, the young child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lions shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the apes, the poisonous snake. And the wind child shall put his hand on the cockatoo's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What is the hope for fallen man? It is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming of the Messiah, which Isaiah began in his prophecy, and he will develop it and show it to us today. God is pushed aside, and the evil one threatens to overwhelm this world with his evil agenda, inciting violence and war, isn't it? Unprovoked, suddenly, you see a massive barrage of rockets that come, destroying, unprovoked. And as we think about where we are here, we realize that security, peace, is indeed very, very fragile, isn't it? And where can we find true security and peace? Well, Isaiah tells the people of God, verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Where is the hope of fallen men reeling under the dominion of his own evil heart? Messiah must come." This was the way of God. "He will create in us a new heart and renew a right spirit within us. Unless that the evil that is in the heart can be arrested, can be changed, nothing that we do can change, isn't it, the turmoil that is going on in this world. It is called a root out of the stem of Jesse, the branch that grow out of his roots. John described the time when Christ would come. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1 to 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the branch that would grow out of this root of Jesse, from the stem of Jesse, will be the one by which peace would come to the hearts of men who believe in him, who trust in him, in dealing with our sin nature, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When God renewed us, gives to us a new heart, there is a change, isn't it? And this change that God wrought in our heart will make us to be a witness of a new nature that God created in us, a nature that the world never knew, a nature that would bring, subdued by the Spirit of God, true peace upon earth. Isaiah predicted the Messiah of Israel will come from the family of Jesse, the father of David. Though the royal family of David has fallen into decay, yet it shall be raised again. There shall be an illustrious descendant that will come out of him. And this was described here, out of his roots. As the shoot starts up from the roots of a decayed tree, here is described for us the Messiah that would be born in new time, due time, from the honored family of David that has fallen into decay. You remember when our Lord Jesus was born, Mary, the mother, though descended from the family of David, was poor, obscure, she was unknown. the glory of the family had departed. And yet, from a long decayed root in the ground, he shall spring forth and shall restore the family to more than its ancient glory on that honored name of Jesse. And why was Jesse used instead of David? Because Jesse was unknown. The father of David, Jesse, was an unknown person, isn't it? In the sight of all Israel, 1 Samuel 18, verse 18, and 1 Samuel 22, verse 7. The son of Jesse, or Jesse, was unknown in the family of Judah. And yet, you see the Lord is deemed fit to raise up a root from the family of Jesse. And the prophet here brings hope to the people. In the midst of the dark days of the Assyrian threat would come the assurance of the Messiah's coming. And Mutler said well, he says, undated hope is a living, ever-present assurance for God's people. It speaks to Israel, Isaiah's time, as it is to the church today, the hope of the future. And God gives to us that hope, isn't it? Absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. The hope of eternal life that God gives us through the Messiah. And this is the hope that Isaiah was painting in the nation of Israel, that was falling into ruins as a result of their idolatry, as a result of their sin. And he was borrowing this imagery from the fall of the Assyrian forest. You remember in chapter 10, we spoke about the Assyrians as being described as very lush and opulent, as a forest with many trees. Well, here it is contrasted, right, with the Messiah, as represented as a shoot springing from fallen, prostrate trunk of Jesse, from the roots of it. I seem to have died, but is raised again, filled by the Spirit of the Lord with all the necessary attributes of a righteous judge and ruler. The Assyrian forest was to fall forever, as we saw, isn't it? At the end of chapter 10, the little child could count the number of trees in the Assyrian forest with a hand. It is fallen. But for the house of David, it would sprout again. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump, from the stock of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall grow. That Messiah should in due time rise out of the house of David as a branch of the Lord. And it's interesting that this word there, means a stem, a rod, is that word that is used to describe our Lord Jesus. The word Netzer is the word that is used to describe our Lord from the city of Nazareth, a Nazarene, Matthew 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so here is described for us, this son of David, in which the Lord Jesus Christ would come forth, and Peter would later on describe in no uncertain terms to the people of Israel concerning this Christ. That is Jesus, the one whom they have crucified. Therefore, Acts 2 verse 20, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Men and brethren, Peter says, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. You know, you go to Jerusalem, there we were brought to see, that's the sepulchre of David. You can see that he's dead. But there shall come out of his loins the Christ who would sit on the throne. Of course, the enemies of God would be very, very unhappy that this would happen. In fact, when the Lord would come, he's described here, and Isaiah is developing this picture of the Messiah. Isaiah 53 verse 2 gives a fuller development. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. So Isaiah is developing and opening up to help us to see the person of this Messiah, that he's someone that would come, he would be suffering, he's as a Messiah, to save us from our sins. He has to die the death. And so what Isaiah was doing, he was showing us the way of God's redemption plan, the way of God's salvation. It is not like men's ways, what men think, as it was in the Assyrians, right, and the powerful army of the Assyrian, the deliverance would come from a broken branch. Well, the Lord is painting a different picture, isn't it? Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So the Lord is saying to us that he will bring forth the Messiah, and it will come from obscurity. The house of David was reduced and brought very low at the time of Christ's birth. And we saw the obscurity, the poverty, isn't it? Jesus was born in a manger. They didn't have a proper place for the child to be born. And you say that that's the Messiah? Well, the Lord is showing us, isn't it? His way of salvation is beyond us, isn't it? But if we would take a step back and ponder and hearken to what God is revealing to us, then peace would come to our heart. And so it's described for us the rod that out of the stem of Jesse, and the branch that would grow out of its roots. And this branch is further described here, would be energized, and the Spirit of the Lord, verse 2 says, shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Messiah here is equipped for the tremendous task of bringing peace upon us. As we think about what is being described here, we are speaking about God endowing his chosen son with the spirit of himself, so that he would come and he would govern, and that there would be true peace upon earth when World War II was in progress. Men spoke as though once the war were concluded, they would be able to establish a just and lasting peace. As we think about it, it seemed like a truth, well, that each time we think that there would be peace, then suddenly there would be great disruption that comes. Messiah was to bring that peace, and the world by itself cannot find that peace, and that peace will come when the power of God shall rest upon his son, and he shall rule upon earth, not by might, not by power, not by human wisdom and means will it ever be achieved. Peace will only come by the one who comes forth from Jesse's roots. That is why God allows, 7,000 years of human history. Why is it that God allows us to go through so many years of life on earth? Right? We go through cycle after cycle. Right? The violence comes, and then there seems to be a period of peace. As one says, the time when there was peace was a time when everyone was preparing to reload, isn't it? Reload for the next battle. And as you think about the years that we have upon earth, how many years were there without major wars? Well, someone calculated and said about 400 over years. But the rest of those times were filled with great violence and great decadence and decay. And so where is the hope? Well, Isaiah is giving to us that hope, isn't it? When he first gave his prophecy, he predicted that this Messiah would come, who would be called Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. You recall Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So, here is described for us, Isaiah is showing us the way by which true peace can come upon earth is by the Messiah's coming. And he will be born, conceived of a virgin. And he is God with us. And he is the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah will further develop for us that this Messiah will be a suffering servant. He will be very lonely, as we have described, isn't it? Coming in obscurity. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. But this is the Messiah that would bring wondrous peace to the people of Israel, to the world. Isaiah would tell us, he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah is showing to us the solution. The solution is in the Messiah, the branch that would come out of Jesse, who would suffer. The thought of suffering does not appear in the first portion of the prophecy, but only the lowly beginnings of the Messiah. But we know, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon Messiah. And this Spirit that would rest upon him is the Spirit of God. And it would come in full measure. Paul describes it so well in Colossians 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, when Christ came upon earth, he was the manifestation of God himself. And when he began to preach in Luke's gospel, chapter 4 and verse 18, he described this part of the prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He shall come, and he shall be the governor. The spirit of government shall be upon him. John 5, verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. In verse 27 of John 5, and he hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He shall rule, he shall be the judge. And how does he judge? Well, the spirit of wisdom and understanding was upon him, of counsel and knowledge. You remember Solomon when he ascended to the throne of Israel, and the Lord said to him, what will you have? What will you ask? And what did Solomon say? I ask for wisdom, isn't it? Wisdom. And indeed, the Lord gave him wisdom, answered his prayer. He was able to judge righteously, correctly, because the Lord granted him the wisdom so that he could see and see through a matter. And that's wisdom from God, the spirit of understanding, of wisdom, of counsel, of knowledge. He shall thoroughly understand the business he is to be employed in. No man knows the Father but the Son. And he shall be able to administer the affairs of his kingdom, spiritual kingdom, in all branches, in all the branches of it, to the glory of God and to the welfare of the children of men. And he would be also given that spirit of courage, of might, of fortitude that his power will not fail him. Isaiah 42, verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, the isles shall wait for his law. He was known for courage in the way he teach, the way of God in truth. Matthew 7, verse 28 to 29, at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. The spirit of religion or the spirit of the fear of the Lord will be upon him. There is a reverential affection for his Father, and he serves as a servant. And that's so important, isn't it? If there is, in a home, there is no reverence, there's no honor given to father and mother by the children, there will be chaos, isn't it? Only when there is the fear of the Lord, men would understand who they are. And Christ personifies this, isn't it? In the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications, Paul wrote in Hebrews 5 verse 7, with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. He obeyed the Father in all aspects. This is a picture given to us of the Messiah of Israel that will come to lift the hope, the hearts of God's people. All who would see, whom the Spirit of God would fill, they would rejoice to know that indeed in the out of the stem of Jesse, that branch shall grow up of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We thank God for the truth, for opening our eyes to see the truth, and may the Lord help us to rejoice, to rest in him, to find wisdom in seeking him, so that indeed we may be a witness for the living and true God upon earth. Israel has failed. And the reason why Israel failed was that the salvation message may come to us. And we thank God that it has indeed come to us. And we have been very privileged to know the truth, to know Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to receive him to be our Savior and our God. And this is our mandate now, to proclaim him, to give hope to a dying world, isn't it? There is no other hope that we can proclaim except the hope of the coming Christ. And we pray that the Lord would grant us his grace to be his ambassador, to be his herder in the second coming of the Lord. There would need many heralds, many to proclaim the Lord is coming again. And the work of the evil one would become more and more intense. And so our work would become more and more precarious. But in the strength of the Lord, we persevere and press on. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy grace. when you ask that thou would strengthen thy people as we go to a time of prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.